First Kings, if you turn in your Bibles there, your notes or whatever you have your Bibles on, you know, the whole image that is in this story about Elijah, and this sacrifice, I'm going to share about it because I really believe it applies for what God is trying to say for this year and this season. And there was a drought at the time of Elijah that he prophesied. He said, there's not going to be rain because of your sin. And until things get changed in your hearts for God, you're going to have a drought. And they lived in the part of the country, of the world, where they had droughts. And the rain was very, very important. And so here you have this desire for the Lord to bring blessing back to the people because their hearts are right again. And their minds are right. They're serving the Lord. They're not rebelling against what they should know better about. So anyway, so Elijah was praying for rain. And so he said, we've got to get this rain back. And so what did they do to get the rain back? They had to turn the hearts of the people back to God. So we're going to look at that sacrifice. And they did it through a sacrifice. They changed people's hearts by offering up a sacrifice. And it was a contest, so to speak, between the false prophets. Everybody say false prophets. And Elijah, the one true prophet. So let's read starting with verse 20, okay? And then we're going to see what the Lord has for us. Amen. Lord, just pray for me and just pray that God gives a word of the Lord today. Amen. How many of you want to hear the word of the Lord? And you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear me. You want to hear God. Okay? But you got to hear me. Okay, here we go. Ahab sent all the people of Israel, and they gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said this, how long will you go limping? Everybody say limping. Limping. And you're going to find out this limp comes back later in the story. Okay? This limping between two different opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. How do you take that, guys? The people didn't answer a word. They could not say one way or another. That is by definition an agnostic. An agnostic is someone who takes the low road and they say, well, I don't want to say I believe in Jesus and I don't want to say I don't. I'm just going to say nothing. And that's called sitting on the fence. And what prophets do is they have a way of kicking you off the fence. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit has to confront you and say, make a decision now, or you may not have a chance to make it again. This is the time to decide. You're going to have to make a commitment. You're going to have to say, okay, I'm all in. I'm all in. People like to be in a situation where they don't have to make a commitment, and they don't want to go all in. They don't want to just give it all. They want to hold on to that control. And that's called the surrender of salvation. We cannot be saved unless we surrender. You have to be surrendered in order to be saved. Can somebody say amen? You got to give it all before God can get you out. Before he can pull you out. And it's people put it in the realm of opinion. And Elijah used the term limping like you're somehow just walking around like, no, you're not just going to decide. You're just kind of halting, which means you're not really going anywhere. And so Elijah said, let's go on. I only am left a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord wants to make this very clear that God can use one man a whole lot more than the devil can use 450 of his servants. God only needs one person to do his will and win the victory. Can somebody say amen to that? The Lord delights in situations that don't look like it's going to win for him. He just loves those. Go ahead, make my day, right? Clint Eastwood. Go ahead, just go ahead and make it look like you're going to beat me, because it's only going to take one prophet of mine to whoop the prophets of Baal. Praise God. God took one man named Jesus, John the Baptist, and one Savior. We only need one Savior, and we only need one Lord. There is one faith, one baptism, one God of all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There is one Lord, and that's all it takes. Praise the Lord. He's the one who spoke the world into existence. So Elijah said, I'm the only one left, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And so he says, let's do a contest, 450 bulls, or let two bulls be given to us. That means one for you, one for me. And let them choose one bull for themselves. You get the first choice, and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood. But here's the key. Here's the key to this challenge. No fire is allowed to be put on that bull. All right? So you need some fire if you're going to have an offering. You got to have the fire if you want to have the offering done. And he said, I want you to put no fire on it. That means there's no, it says, I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. So you'll have your altar, I'll have my altar, and I'm not going to put a fire on mine, and you're not going to put a fire on yours. And you call upon the name of your God, whatever that is, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And that word Yeshua comes from Yahweh. It means Jesus, God is my salvation. And he says, the God who answers by fire, he is God. And the people answered, it's well spoken. They agreed to it. Now, here's the deal. Our worship has to have God's fire on it. It's got to have it. And I believe that one of the things that is easy to do, if you care about the Lord and if you want to see good things happen, to try to put your hand, to put fire on the altar of God to make it work when God isn't in it. There's got to be that the people of God have to learn not to put the fire of man or man-made fire in what we do for Jesus. We have to sometimes walk in, not sometimes, we have to operate in such a manner that God, if you don't send the fire, this isn't going to work. There is a sacrifice. See, the sacrifice of praise, means that you're waiting. I mean, you're trusting God for the fire to come on what it is that you're doing. You're not going to make it look awesome just because you can. And that's why I'm not into I know that with the little bit of theater stuff that I know, that you can make a worship time be very dramatic and exciting. And if you go to a concert, right, you want to see something called a light show, right? Well, why is that fun? Because it's cool. I mean, it's cool what they do with lights. And they can make things appear and disappear into different colors. It's very entertaining. Everybody say entertaining. It's very interesting. And then there's smoke, and you can put smoke out there and fog. They got these fog machines. I'm allergic to the fog stuff, so I don't like them, but they're fog machines. And then you've got smoke. And why do you do smoke? Because it makes the lights look better. Y'all knew that, right? the fog, because the fog's in the atmosphere, when you shine the lights through, you can see the beams of the light. So it spreads the color. It just spreads the color. And you can do all kinds of cool things with these computer lights that make the lights go around. That's why they put fog out there, because they want to create glory. It's man-made glory is what it is. And they use it, lights and colors. And, you know, I mean, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, I've done stuff like that. But let me tell you something. That's man-made. It's man-made. Now, I've been in services when we saw stuff like that and it wasn't man-made. Nobody was doing it. God was doing it. I've been in situations, not every day, but here's the deal. God's presence and the Holy Spirit, it says what? He will baptize you. Another man comes after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unlace. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, I'm not criticizing what other people do to try to attract a crowd. I'm not criticizing that. But at the same time, if there's no fire from heaven, as far as I'm concerned, it's a waste. It's a waste of time. We need God's fire. And I believe that this is a word that I believe the Lord needs to get out to American Christians, because we need the fire of God. We need it. Because when the fire of God comes, it's all-consuming fire. So don't be swayed by the odds of the 450 prophets to one prophet. Don't be swayed by numbers. Don't be swayed by numbers. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, okay, choose your bull, etc. There was no voice. All right, and verse 26, and they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from the morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice. No one answered. And they limped around the altar that they made. There's that word limping. You see what I'm saying? I told you it'd come up again. Why are you limping on two opinions? Why were they limping around the altar? Because they had cut themselves so much in bleeding and in sacrificing and in giving themselves, doing everything humanly possible to make God answer. If I just do this and I just do that, it's not grace. It's not grace. It's not grace. Only God can send the fire. It's not meant for us to limp. I call it the limp of the rave. Because they were having a rave is what they were doing. They were trying to drum everything up and getting everybody all hyper. And you know what I'm saying? Just pumping it all up and getting the emotion, trying to stir the emotion and stir the sights and everything. Just get it all. And God wants to eliminate the limp of the rave and the limp of the people on the fence. No anointing. Not for me. I got presence. When I say anointing, that's another word for presence. Why? Because when you're anointed with oil, you smell really good. Really good. Because the anointing oil has a beautiful fragrance to it. It says they limped around the altar, and then at noon, so they started at 9 o'clock in the morning, they went all the way to noon, and then Elijah says, cry aloud, for he is a god, right? Either he's musing or he's going to the bathroom. In other words, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and it has to be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their customs with swords and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And as midday passed, they raved on. See, just having extended time and pushing things in time doesn't always mean it's the right thing. Just more of something doesn't mean it's going to be better of something. But that's the flesh. That's the mind of man that thinks if you just do something more and keep pressing, that somehow it's going to happen. There's got to be a sense of trusting the Lord and resting in the Lord and letting him do the work. I mean, Elijah, what was Elijah doing? Sitting around watching him. He got there. They started that thing at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he sat there until the evening, all day long. Just sat there and watched him. Elijah said to all the people, now, this is in the late afternoon. He says, come here now to me. All these people were like limping between the two opinions. They were all watching these prophets of Baal do all this fantastic stuff, right? With all this technology, swords and spears and blood gushing and screaming and yelling and running around and, you know, everything. Just the whole nine yards. And he said, come to me. Come close. And so they came. So the first thing he did is he restored that which had been thrown down. And we have faith, a sense of faith in this country where people have taken the altar of God and thrown the stones out. They've literally trying to deconstruct and take apart what the Lord start and birthed this country in. This country was birthed in revival. So one of the things that we have to do is we have to put back which was already in their lives. They know it. They know it's there. Put those stones back together. They're there as a witness. And so he did that. He took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom he were, the Lord came, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar, the name of the Lord, and he made a trench. Watch this. He made a trench around it as big as would contain two seahs of sea. That's the big trench, okay? And he put the wood in order. Notice all the details. He put the wood in order. Okay, let's get all the wood. Now you know that you can't just throw wood in a pile and expect it to light and burn good, right? You put it in an order so that it can breathe. And that way it'll catch. It's one of the first things I learned as a Boy Scout. Praise God. How to build a fire. But he didn't. He just put the wood there, obviously. He put the wood in order. He cut the bull in pieces and he laid it on the wool. And then he said, let's put some water on there. Let's make it even harder for God. Let's get that thing so wet. Come on, guys. You know that if you soak wood with water, it's not going to burn right away. It's just not going to burn. But this is the kind of fire. Doesn't matter. It'll burn anything. Exactly, because it says it licked it up. And then I want you to look at verse 36. This is a key period. At the time of the offering of the oblation, that, if you don't know what that is, you miss the power of this. Okay? So I'm going to explain to you what it is real quick. There were two lambs sacrificed by the temple, the morning lamb and the evening one. That was the last offering made of the day. They called that the oblation. All right? Other translations say the evening sacrifice or whatever. So you had the first lamb at the beginning of the day. Then you had the last lamb, the last one. Who's the last lamb? Jesus. Ain't no more sacrifice after that one. Glory to God. No more. You see, Elijah was operating in the Spirit of God because he wasn't going to sacrifice anything until that last lamb came. And that's why John the Baptist was in the spirit and the power of Elijah, because the only thing that's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children is the last sacrifice, where there's no more lambs after this baby. This one is the one that we want. Behold the Lamb, the oblation of God. Glory to God. There's no more sacrifice for sins after this. He did it all for everybody. And then God sent the fire afterwards on that sacrifice at Pentecost, praise the Lord, and burned it all. Set God's people on fire. Only God can send fire like that. Doesn't matter how much water you baptize somebody in, the fire comes after the water. Come on. Fire comes after the water. John said, get in the water. Don't worry how wet you get, because you're going to burn when the fire of the Holy Ghost comes on you. It says here, the people saw it. It says, I love this, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That fire said, I'm thirsty. Glory to God. Drink that water up. No problem. And when all the people saw it, what did they see? They saw the fire of God on the sacrifice. And what did they say? Yahweh or Jehovah, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, they said his name. They said his name. They said, God has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so the apostles, after the great day of Pentecost, saw healings and miracles. They pulled him in. They pulled him in, and they said, by what name did you do this? And they said, no other name but Jesus. By the name of Jesus, God sent the fire of Pentecost. God sent the fire of supernatural healing. God sent the fire of supernatural deliverance. God set the fire that no one could light. I'm going to share just one other aspect of this, and then I think we'll... When Moses was really called, I mean, he was called before he was even born, and he was saved as a child and preserved by God, right? When he was very, 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 very young, just a baby. He was destined for death. But Moses was called to ministry, like this guy here, this monk that Danny was referring to, because he had an encounter with fire. That's what changed him. As what changed the people of God during the time of Elijah changed Moses in his day. Because what did he see? He saw a bush that was not consumed. That means the wood didn't burn. Now, I don't know if I think the miracle's in the fire and maybe in the wood, because the Lord was in there. See, when the Lord is there, when the Lord is doing something, eternity is there. And so you got to hear me on this. The presence of the Lord is not just a good feeling, guys. The presence of the Lord is not just, oh, God is here, I love this. Because you feel good when God shows up. You feel joy. I feel joy. I just get happy. Sometimes I cry a lot too, but that's happy tears, you know, happy tears. But at the same time, when the presence of God comes, it's not just to make you feel good. That's not the point. The point of the presence of God is to transform you into his image. It's for you to be called and to listen to him. Because when the presence of God came to Moses, the Lord was in that bush. And because he was in that bush was not going to get burned. And that was an eternal fire that was there. That it was a holy fire. There was not going to be an end to that bush. That bush was going to stay there as long as the Lord was there. Eternity is in that fire. And when you have the presence of the Lord, you are encountering eternity. You are encountering the Lord. Because as I am the Lord, I never change. Who are you? I am. Because there's no past tense for me, and there's no future tense for me. I always was. I just an am. You know? So when you encounter the presence of the Lord, you are encountering eternal life. And that's why the Apostle John said, now we have eternal life. Now we have eternal life. It's the presence of God and stepping into that sense of eternity where you're with him and you know that he says, you have eternal life. You have eternal life and you will not see death. I believe that when people pass from this earth and they're Christians, they have such a sense of the presence of God, they don't see death. They don't see it. Why? Because they're like the burning bush. They're just surrounded by God's presence. What did Stephen see when he was being stoned? They had a rock party, right? Rock and roll. They were throwing rocks at him. What did he see? He says, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. He was dying and he saw Jesus. Did he say, I see death? No, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I see him. I want to encourage you. Why did the early Christians not? Why were they so fearless? Why? Because they saw the fire of God, the same fire that fell on Elijah's altar, the same fire that was on the bush that got a hold of Moses' tension, and the same fire that fell on Pentecost. When the fire of God fell, it says they spoke the word of God boldly. Boldly, they were fearless. They were bold and they were willing to do what God wanted them to do. They just didn't say, hey, this is really cool. We're speaking in tongues. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing God do cool stuff. They weren't just going, this is great. Let's not go anywhere. No, it says they ran out. They ran out into the square and they were praising God. And people said, what is all this commotion? What is all this commotion? So I believe that the Lord wants us in 2023. I believe this thing is to, first of all, to make us rooted and grounded in the richness of the glory of God and in his presence, that there's fullness of blessing and joy, and that as we go out with the fire of God, that we don't take the presence of God for granted, that we see the presence of God as our encounter with eternity, where our eyes are open and we say, Lord, we are not going to lay our hand on this altar to make the fire happen on any way, shape, or form. God, if you don't come, if you don't bless our sacrifice, we will wait until you do. We'll just watch you do it, Lord. And it may be happening when the sun goes down, but that's okay. I'd rather be praising him when the sun goes down than walking away, missing it. Because there's only one lamb that matters. It's the evening one. It's the last one. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. So I'm just praying that blessing over you. Lord, we bless the people of God. We bless our friends. We bless our family. We say to our friends and family that the fire of the Holy Spirit fall upon them. And Lord, for those that do not know you, let them be stop limping. Let there be no more limping on the fence, no more cutting themselves and trying to do things in their own strength. But Father, we pray for a people of God that know how to put the wood in order and know how to call on the name of Jesus. And that the fire will fall if we do what he says. Let the fire fall, Lord. Let the fire and then let the rain come. Because, Lord, right after he did that, that's when he prayed for rain and the rain came. So, Father, we say, let the fire fall so that the rain will come. Say it with me. Ready? Father, let the fire fall so that the rain will come. That's what we need, Lord. Let the fire fall so the rain will come. Amen. That's the rain we want. We want that rain. Amen. Lord, let that be for America. Let it be for you and your family. Let it be for your friends. Let it be for the church. Let the fire fall so the rain will come. By your hand, Lord, let it fall. Amen. Mm-hmm.